The 18th of December, 2014. As I write, I'm on a train going through Hamburg's bleak and wintry suburbs with my partner Amanda and daughter Zelly. We've grown a little weary, and I reflect back to that possibly drizzly nacht when it all fell apart. The beginning of the end. It's always the beginning of the end, isn't it? But let me open with the end of the Lighthouse Keepers. It was the 13th of November, 1985, at a venue in Hamburg, Germany. There were about 20 people in the room, waiting to be entertained. There were a few Australians in the crowd. Somehow, they'd found out that the Lighthouse Keepers were playing a few sets in a narrow bar, somewhere in deepest Hamburg. We'd been in Europe and the UK for about a month, and away from home a lot longer. We'd left from Sydney via Perth, playing a few shows in outback towns along the way. That was how you got to Europe, right? The Lighthouse Keepers were a rather pathetic bunch. Always very nervous on stage, we'd look down a lot, we'd change instruments or tune unnecessarily, anything but look at the audience. Juliet was our singer, and perhaps as part of her stage persona, she'd make eye contact with a few members of the audience. I think this was her ritual for overcoming fear. Dangerous, I thought, as I focused my eyes on some not very difficult chords. This was particularly dangerous on a night like this. Was it raining outside? I think it must have been. In retrospect, we hadn't been away from home long. We weren't like those hardier Australian bands, the Triffords or the Go-Betweens, who lived for years in cold squalor in London and toured for as long as it took. After 6 months, we were tired and close contact with each other was already wearing thin. Backstage, one of us was especially drunk. S. O'Neill, better known as Harry, sometimes drank himself into an altered state when intoxicated. He was usually a fairly harmless being, gentle, touchy-feely, and inclined to nod off easily. But on this night, walking was a challenge, so was any sort of movement. He stumbled like a zombie from a bad film. I knew then there was no chance he could play the bass, the guitar, or any other sort of instrument, and since he was our best musician, I knew we had a problem. It is not unusual in a touring band for tensions to build up on the road. Some characters just rub each other up the wrong way. Harry and Stephen Williams, the drummer, were polar opposites in character. As well as the drummer, Stephen Williams was pretty much the manager, although why anyone would want to manage a rock band is a mystery. But we didn't stop him. We just whinged like brats. Where's my money? Where's my dinner? Where's the rider? And so on. If Stephen was the capitalist, Harry was the left-wing radical, or perhaps the maverick independent. He was uncompromisingly Stalinist about musical correctness. He hated cover songs, loved obscure punk and new wave music, and was generally against the man. Sometimes he saw the man in our drummer. As the tour wore on, they gravitated to the opposite ends of the grubby combi van. By the time we got to Hamburg, Harry and Stephen Williams were barely speaking. Now at the show, I glimpsed a scary monster deep inside the drunken Harry. He wanted to do bad things. So we started off with some acoustic songs, leaving Harry to sober up backstage. We often did acoustic songs, so it was nothing unusual. Stephen Williams joined us on brushes. But the tension rose as the monster began to stir. Harry picked up his bass and walked on stage. He flapped the strings and a horrible noise came out. It bore no relation to the song we were playing. He staggered around the stage, continuing an improvised slap solo, with a malevolent look on his face. Drums and bass are the engine of a band, but our managerial drummer was not feeling the groove. He was thinking how hard it was going to be to get money out of the club with such a small audience too. Halfway through the song, he jumped from behind the drums and attacked Harry, punching and pushing. But the monster fought back. This wasn't in the set list. Perhaps the show had not been advertised as well as it could have been, a couple of Australians belting the hell out of each other on stage. It was a strange sight. And I'm sure a few people in the room thought so too. The Lighthouse Keepers could be called emo if such a classification had existed at the time. Now we were fighting on stage like heavy metal musos. But it was never going to be a fair fight, as our drummer was built like a boxer and much less drunk. The intoxicated Harry could only lurch and throw his limbs about, like he was trapped in a net. The band retreated backstage, and the two fighters fell around a bit more before the drummer left the stage with a look of contempt. The sound of feedback and freeform slap bass concluded the show.